that eye. Means it's time to go. Good to see everyone out this morning. Had a great Sunday school lesson, and had a tough week. We had, of course, Brother Harold's funeral here this week, and lost a great deacon, great friend. Gonna be tough for a little while, but praise God, he's with him. I believe that, and what great hope we have, knowing that we have a Savior that's prepared us a place. So one day we can be there, still hurts. Still gonna take some time, but continue to pray for his family, as I know they're still hurting. Pray for all of his neighbors, his friends, and continue to remember our church. We had several prayer requests made out back. I know on our Sunday school class, continue to remember Kay's sister as she's going for her treatments. Been doing pretty good so far, I think, for what she's having to go through. So continue to remember her. We've got several other people has lost some of Miss Louise's family has lost their loved ones. I know some of the teenagers here have lost grandparents and different things lately, and seems like a lot of stuff has happened. But in our Sunday school lesson, it taught about good times and bad times. And there's one thing that you learn quickly about life is it's not all good times. There are some bad times, but it's through these bad times that we truly see God work. And we don't tend to take the time to see him work in the good times. We tend to just think it's us and that everything's going great and everything's just perfect when things are good. But it takes the bad times to really get us to realize who God is in our life. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Anybody else have one we need to remember as we pray? Amen. Remember her.
I learned this morning Earl Smith had died. I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
When did that
happen? He passed away Sunday. We had his, I think it was it? Yeah, last Sunday. Amen. Anybody else? Not Brother Darrell Robinson, you lead some prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house and worship and serve you. We just are amazed at your wonderfulness and how great thou art. God, we just pray that these prayer requests that were mentioned this morning, we uplift them to you, God. You know each and every need, each and every heart. Father, today we pray that we do nothing else but to uplift and glorify you. We ask that you bless in the singing and the preaching. Everything that we do here today, God, we pray that it would just draw men, women, boys, and girls closer to you. Father, we pray that it'll be worthy of your calling of us and that we would do everything according to your will and your way and your word. Now, as we go through the furtherance of this service, God, just have your will and way. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship. And I sure am missing my front row, but it's up here.
Praise his name. Thank you.
Missing, but the most important ones are here. Good to see those out that have come out this morning, and Lord's laid a message upon my heart this morning that's one of those that's not fun because it's one that I struggle with. And you see when there's, but I'll be honest with you, all of them ever preach I struggle with. But this one this morning is something that every single person in this building falls under the problem of the tongue. It's not fun to preach about because the Bible says no man can tame it. Surely if no man can tame it, it does away with me because I promise you I have trouble. And James, you want to be turning to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. As you turn over there, I see Daryl smiling. He must have been preaching on this or teaching on it. But as you turn over there, I read a little story about it last night. I was looking up some illustrations so I could try to be one of those fancy preachers, you know, and give you a good illustration. But I read about a little boy who worked at a grocery store, or I guess he was a teenager, and he was back in the produce section, and here come this lady and said, sir, can I buy half a head of lettuce? He said, half a head of lettuce? Well, we don't sell it that way. She said, well, I've bought groceries here for years. Surely you should sell me a half a head of lettuce. He said, well, I'll go ask the manager and see what he says. So the young boy walks up to the manager, and he says, manager, there's a crazy old lady back there that wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. By the time his manager made some motions to him, and He knew the lady was behind him. He said, and this nice yet lady wants to buy the other half. And a little bit later went by, and the manager caught the young boy out, and he says, son, so that was the best comeback I've ever seen. Where did you learn that? He said, sir, I was raised, I can't remember the name of the city, Baltimore, I think. He said, sir, I was raised in Baltimore. If there's one thing you know we're known for, it's baseball and ugly women. He said, my wife's from Baltimore. He said, what team she play for? So words, our tongue, you got to be careful. You got to be careful with our tongues. And you can go on and on. But I was thinking about the tongue, and every single war that's ever taken place, every divorce, every marriage, everything that's ever happened come from the tongue. And think about what power this thing holds, and it's very, very small. I know there's Amberly can touch her nose with hers, but outside most people, their tongues are small. But the Bible teaches in James of what, how bad this thing can be, how bad it can be. And for just a little while this morning, I want to preach about small but powerful. And I think this is made for me, Rudy, because that's what I am, see? It's small but powerful. But I was thinking about a tongue, and I know we're living in a time where bullying is a big deal. But when I was a kid and in kindergarten or primary school, we used to sing a song, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That was a lie. Amen. That was a lie today. We see all this bullying taking place, and I'm a little bit old-fashioned, I guess. I still believe that a lot of that bullying could be wiped away with if we'd teach them to pop them in the nose. I know that ain't very preacher-like, but if you did that, they'll leave you alone. I dealt with a little bit of bullying because I was always short and fat, and I ain't outgrowed it yet. But I dealt with that, and I went to Rock Springs, and I began talking to the Beams, and me and Steve Beam was cutting up one day, and I said, boy, Steve, I said, I bet you never had to hear any jokes about your size. He said, all the time, they call me the giant, the jolly green giant, or they'd say something every day. He said, it don't matter if you're short, tall, thin, or fat, people's going to talk about you, and people's going to say stuff. But listen, church, I want you to understand something, is our tongue is very dangerous, very dangerous. In James chapter number 3, listen to these words. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any may offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whether it's wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. Listen to this. And is a set on fire of hell. Man. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therefore we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine or figs? Or can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. Lord, we ask you to use it today, Lord, to cut us, Father, to let us see where we're failing you. Father, I know it's something so simple to preach about as a tongue, but God, what a power we hold with this little thing inside our mouth that can, God, it can build up, but it also can tear down. And God, we thank you today. We ask you to give us all the preaching that's done, Father, that you'll preach through us today, that you'll just use us, and everything that's done here, we honor and glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Think about these scriptures I just read to you. And boy, there become some things that are very dangerous in it. And the Bible starts out, we're going to do a little bit of, this is going to sound fancy, but it's really not, a little bit of expository preaching today. We've been learning about it in school. And it's simply where we're going to go verse by verse and understand this book of James. And we're going to understand some things about it that you're going to leave here today saying, I know that I've got a tongue, but what in the world am I supposed to do with this thing? And I hope we've got that figured out. Listen, he starts off and says, brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He's saying, hey, we don't need to teach a bunch of different things. We need to be sure of what we're teaching. We need to make sure our tongue is doing the right thing. Right. Now, I want you to think about this today. You're hearing all different kind of messages. There's preachers standing today. They're preaching all kind of different things. But bless God, they should be leaning towards one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. We need to be all teaching the same thing. We need to be on the same page. And I know there's many people today that say, well, I'm not going to preach on that tongue sin because it's one that trips up people. And if you preach on sin, you won't have many people come to church. And this won't happen, that won't happen. Well, bless God, guess what? We're going to have to deal with it because we're going to preach about what God lays on our heart today. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Listen to this scripture. If you can tame the tongue, you can control the whole body. And I don't know about you today, but I have a problem controlling my tongue. I have a problem opening my mouth and things coming out that shouldn't be. I'll give you a little example. I went to get my oil changed the other day, and the Thursday before I was supposed to get it changed, I called the place and I made an appointment, and the guy said, be here at 9:30, and he even sent me an email that said, be there at 9:30, and so I was sure to get there at 9:30, and I got there, and I walked in. There's a little fellow ahead of me, and he said, he took this fellow's what all he wanted done to his car, and then it was my turn. He said, what's your name? I told him. He said, you don't have an appointment at 10 o'clock. And for some reason, it flew all over me. I don't know why, but it just did. I guess it was the devil or something. And I said, just, you know what? Just forget it. Just forget it. I'll go somewhere else. And as soon as I walked out that door, boy, the Spirit of God smote me and said, what in the world are you doing? Do you not realize what you're supposed to be? Do you not realize what you're supposed to be representing? I'm supposed to be patient, Rudy, it says. It says I'm supposed to be long-suffering. It says I'm supposed to be what the Bible's called me to be. But, brother, at that point, I wouldn't. You know why? Because he made me mad. He made me mad. And guess what happens when you get mad? Immediately we begin putting this old tongue in gear, and we think that's the way to get back at them. I'll tut them. Guess what? They didn't care if I got my oil changed somewhere else. They probably don't make any money off of it anyway. I run one of them places one time. But one thing for certain, I thought I let him know I was unhappy. But you see, probably what I did is I probably cured him from even ever coming to this church. I probably cured him for ever wanting to hear me preach or hear the word of God spoke. And the bad thing is, he probably walked out and somebody probably said, who was that guy? And somebody said, well, that's the pastor of New Harmony. And then he probably said, well, bless God, I'll never go there. Now, if that's the way they want to act, I'll never go. And I felt bad all day. And I went home and I said, you know what I'll do? I'll do this myself. So I went and got the stuff. Cost me more money than I could have waited. Cost me more money. I got out there and I got oil, and I done got sorry, y'all. I got oil all over me. I used to do it every day, but I got oil all over me. I spilled oil on my little concrete pad down there. And about the middle of that thing, when burning oil was going down my arm, I said, you fool, you should have waited. But I didn't. My tongue overtaking me. Listen, he says, if you can control it, you can control your whole body. Your whole body. Boy, how this is, it's just a very simple thing that God has given us. You say, well, preacher, why in the world did he give us a tongue? Hey, he gave us a tongue to praise him today. Amen. He gave us a tongue so we could lift people up. But you see what happened after that old sin entered in, this tongue, like the rest of us, become a great enemy to us. With the tongue, listen as he goes on. He says, behold, also the ship, which though be so great, are driven in a fierce wind, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Now think about this. He gives us two illustrations. One about a horse. We can put bits in their mouth and we can twist them. And I just got intrigued about that last night. And I said, I got to figure out what makes a horse do this because I know absolutely nothing about a horse, Pat. Now, Pat knows about horses. I saw her riding one on a picture. But listen, let me tell you what happens when you put a bit into a horse's mouth. It begins putting pressure on two things they got in their mouth. Rudy would know what they're called. That's the way that God made the horses up anyway. And you lay that bar across there, and as you pull on the reins, it puts pressure. And you know why the horse turns the other way or turns the way he wants to? It's trying to relieve the pressure. It's not that you made him smart. It's not that you gave him some more knowledge. He's simply doing what's natural is to get away from that pressure. You see, what happens when bullying comes upon is many people kill themselves. Many people do all these bad things to themselves. A lot of people cut themselves. Some people do other things. You read all kinds of things people are doing. And what happens is when they do this, they're not trying to get better. They're just simply getting away from the pressure. They're getting away from the pressure. The bit puts pressure, and the horse, all it knows to do is turn away from it. That's its natural instinct. It's the same thing with people today. When we open our mouth and we begin saying things about them and cutting them down and doing all these bad things, you know why they do what they do? They're simply getting away from the pressure. Get away from the pressure. And then he uses a ship. A ship, it said it's a very great thing, yet it's turned about with a very small helm. How many of y'all in here has ever ridden on a cruise ship? Anybody? Yeah, it's a big old boat, ain't it? And you get on that big old boat, and I know in today's time they got these motors that turn and push that thing, but listen, when the Bible was pinned down, you know what they had? Was a helm or a rudder that stuck out the back of that thing, and you turned that, and that turned the boat. That would have turned a boat or an airplane. We can understand this better today. In an airplane, they still today have rudders. And we've come all this way from all this. Think about this. The Bible was pinned down thousands of years ago. And you know what we still using to turn a horse? A bit. You know what we still using to turn a ship or an airplane? A bit. I mean, a rudder that turns it does the same thing. A bit does. I began studying about what makes a rudder work. Why does that little bitty thing, how does it turn a boat? It's the exact same scientific explanation as a bit is. It simply goes to where the least pressure is. When you turn that thing, the pressure becomes a lot less that way, and the front of the boat begins to turn. So listen, he turns these things with that little bitty part it is. And I just had to look up a little bit of statistics. I want you to think about this. The power we have to generate an airplane like that. I looked up a 747. It takes 95,710 horsepower to push a 747. 95,000 horsepower. Now that thing must have a Ford motor. Listen, it takes all that power to push that airplane, and that thing weighs hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tons. It's just a massive how big it is. But you know what? It's turned with a little bitty rudder. Actually, a 747 has two. But for the size of it, these are very small rudders. One is 9'6" and one's 22 foot tall. But if you've ever seen a 747, that's still a small rudder. It turns that thing. And listen, it takes all that horsepower to push it. All that power to push it down the air, push it through the air. All those ships, it takes a bunch of horsepower to push them through the water. But bless God, they can be turned with just a little bitty rudder. What's that telling us today? We've got all the power in the world pushing us, the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, what can turn that thing, this tongue? It can turn it. It's amazing how God's word is. Boy, every time I studied, I began getting amazed what it is. Listen, let's go on down and see what it says. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts its great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that has defiled the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is a set on fire of hell. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. Think about this. We have firemen sitting in here right here today. How many of y'all go into houses that are burning and you risk your life to save people, and I commend you today. But listen, a fire, basically, is destructive. It's destructive. There's scientific facts. We're not going to go into how it works. And Rudy could by far teach it better than I could. But listen, a fire destroys stuff. It tears apart. You set a house on fire, it'll burn down. You set your car on fire, it'll burn down. Listen, many times when we talk about people, you know what we do? We drag them down. When we talk about our church, we drag it down. When we talk about our community, we drag it down. And Brother Darrell will tell you, there's nothing worse than being a pastor and going out hearing somebody say something negative about your church. Boy, you've been ready to fight. You've been ready to fight. Listen, I always say this. If you've got good things to say about our church, brother, you let them be known. But any bad things you've got to say, you need to keep it in right here and not let it get out of this place. It'll tear it down. It'll destroy it. It'll burn it up. It will not be any good. And a fire is very destructive. How many of y'all have seen a fire? All of us have seen a fire. And listen, I'll tell you a little story about a fire one time. Stephanie decided she was going to burn some stuff at her house. And every time Stephanie decides to do something, somehow or another my daddy gets affected. He just wished Stephanie to stay in the house. But she decided she was going to start a little fire, and whatever reason, she went back to doing exactly what she thought she needed to be doing. And before long, the fire had gotten out and burned one of my daddy's trucks up. I'm talking about everything, just completely destroyed that sucker. And there it was, and it started from a little bitty fire she set there. But you know what happened? She didn't watch it. She didn't watch it, and this thing got out. It got away from her. Listen, that's the same way gossip happens with us, y'all. And if it starts as a little bitty word we tell somebody, did you hear about old brother so-and-so? Did you hear about what they done? And is it not funny how things change? I've heard people say you can take a whole congregation of people, you can start here and tell this one something, and by the time it gets to this side, it's a whole different meaning. It's exactly what happens to gossip. In no way, form or fashion, will you ever read in the Word of God where it's good to gossip. I don't care if it's about your preacher, your deacons, or who it's about. If we can't say nothing, we need to listen to our mamas. If you can't say nothing good, keep your mouth shut. But the Bible teaches us that no man can tame it. No man. Hey, it's not possible, the Bible says, to tame this thing. Let's go a little further. A fire destroys. But I began thinking about that, and I know the Scripture don't say this, but you have to take the Scripture, you have to study it to get the meaning out of this thing, what God intends for you. It said the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire, and I done told you it destroys, but you know what else the fire does? It refines. It refines. It even replenishes. I went to church with Brother Scott Smith, and he works for the government. He would always tell me, and if you know Brother Scott Smith, he loves trees. He loves trees. That's all he wants to talk about is trees. And he began talking about why they do these controlled burns. They burn all the vegetation away so the trees can have plenty of sunlight. They can have plenty of nutrients and all this. And they can grow a great forest. And listen, a fire inside a forest is very useful. It refines. So what I'm telling you today is a tongue used in the right way can refine somebody. The tongue used in the right way can lift somebody up. The tongue used in the right way can bring forth a brand new growth. The tongue used in the right way can be good. Listen what else it does. It cleanses. It cleanses. You use heat, which comes from fire. It'll do a lot of cleaning. It's very good for certain things. Guess what else it does? It gives light. Fire gives light. We can speak light into somebody's life. We can tell them about the great words of Jesus. We can tell them about the Word of God. We can preach to them. We can teach to them. And boy, we can lift them up in everything we do. But we got to be so careful with this thing because it's just like training a wild animal. It's like training a wild tiger or lion or whatever it may be. How many times you seen on the TV where old so-and-so got killed by a tiger because it went wild? It was a wild animal. How many times you read about where so-and-so has been trampled even by a horse and they got killed or by cattle or by whatever it means or they got eaten by a shark and different things? Listen, this thing's a wild animal. It's hard. You can't tame it. If you do tame it at any moment, it can go away from you. It can get away. How many times have someone said something and all of a sudden you spit something back at them before you even thought? How many times somebody said something, you opened your mouth, and about 5 minutes later, you wish you could take that thing back? You can't. Listen to this. Scientists have come up with this idea, and they say it's facts. I don't know it to be, but I think it is. That after we say a word, it forever and ever and ever goes on as sound waves. Never ends. It's still out there. They think they can devise a way to capture all the words that's ever been said. Even the words Jesus Christ preached when he was here on earth, they think they could come up with a way. Of course, they wouldn't know who it was. They ain't that smart, I don't think. But they could capture those sound waves. Once you say it, it's forever out there. Listen, once you say hurtful to somebody, you can go back, you can say I'm sorry, you can say I didn't mean it, but the bottom line of it is it's still out there. They don't forget it. All those times we used to be in school and we make fun of that person is still there. All the times we used to talk about them and boy, they didn't have what we had. They didn't look like we did. They didn't smell like we did. They didn't do things just like I do. They've done things a little bit different than I do. All those things you said are still out there. Sticks and stones break my bone, but words never hurt me. Not a bigger lie has ever been told. The tongue gives light. Listen, let's go a little further. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and even been tamed of mankind. You can go to the circus, or you can go to the zoo, or wherever you want to, and you can see all kinds of animals that'll do all kinds of tricks. Ashton's been trying to train our boxer to jump through a hoop for Halloween, or the fall festival out here. And let me tell you something, it's not going well. She's trying to tame him, and he won't go a certain way. You know what he does? He's like my tongue, Terry. He goes the way he wants to go most of the time. Listen, you can go. You can watch them train dolphins. They can make them things jump. They can teach them to play with a ball. They can teach seals to do this thing. They can teach tigers to do things. The Bible says serpent, so you must be able to train a serpent. I'm not going to try. Amen. But listen, it says you can tame a serpent. If the Bible says it, I believe it's true. You'll see people that take serpents and put them around their neck. I don't believe they're tame, but they'll do it. Listen, they'll put them around their neck. They'll do tricks with them snakes. They'll have them crawl all over them and all these things that just make me want to throw up. But listen, you got to be careful. You got to be careful with them. All of that's been tamed, even of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. There's not a man alive. There's not a man living on this earth today that can never tell me he's never spoken bad of anyone. Now, my daddy's one of the best ones. There are a time, I'm sure, he spoke bad of someone because the Bible says no man can tame it. But listen, I've never heard him say very much bad about anybody. And there's a couple more men I could mention. The sad thing is I can't throw myself into that because I can't tame this thing right here. It gets away from me sometimes. I'll be talking to somebody and I'll done to be spilled all the beans, not even meaning to. Then when I leave, I think, boy, what did you do? You spent it all out there. Boy, you didn't save nothing. You can't control it. He can't. Nothing has ever tore down more churches. Nothing's ever tore down more people. Nothing's kept more people out of heaven than the tongue.
Amen.
Than the tongue. How many people's walked into our churches and they come and immediately people begin to say, well, they're a little different than us. Or they're this and that. And then there's people in the communities when we go out to visit them, we'll say a few words to them. We'd love for you to come to our church. And deep down inside, we're really hoping they won't. And we never go back to them. We never tell them about Jesus. We never do that. So by our tongues, I'm telling you today, it's the most dangerous thing we have. That tongue is worse than any nuclear weapon North Korea's got. It's worse than anything that anybody can come in here with is this tongue. Listen to this. No man can tame it. It's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Deadly poison. Listen, none of us would drink poison in our right mind. None of us would give our children poison. And none of us would do this. But how many times, church, has your children heard you speak bad of somebody, even inside the church doors? How many times your children heard you maybe say something about this person or that person in the community? How many times have they heard you do that? I promise you more than you want to know they have, because we don't think they listen. But let me tell you something. Those little ones are listening all the time. Their ears are open. They're hearing how daddy talks. They're hearing, they're seeing how daddy walks. They're seeing all this stuff. And then we wonder when our kids spit out something, we say, where did they hear that? You better look in the mirror, old buddy. That's where they heard it. How they know that everything they learn from us. Yes, they go to public schools. They pick up a bunch of stuff there. But if they know daddy's talking right, then they're going to talk right. Ooh, this is hard, ain't it? Full of deadly poison. Listen to this. Therewith we bless God. We bless God. We come, we say, God, praise you this morning. We've sang songs this morning about uplifting and about God is great, about love lifting me. And we sing all these songs to Jesus Christ. Boy, use that old tongue. And boy, when we're doing that, that thing's pretty, ain't it? When we're uplifting God with it, it's a great thing. And boy, we use it for the right reason. And our tongues definitely can be used for the right reason. He says you praise God, you bless God with that tongue. But the problem you have, old man, is that the same day that you bless God, you'll walk out the church doors and you'll say, did you hear what that little preacher said? Did you hear what he said? That I had a tongue that talked about people. That I had a tongue that drug people down. That I had a tongue that was a reason that people went to hell. And then you'll go out tomorrow and you'll say, that person just called me at work. Can you believe what they said, that old so-and-so? Can you believe what my boss just told me to do? And so the Bible says, with the same tongue that you lift God up with, you tear down man. This is the important part, which are made after the similitude of God. God made that person. Yes, they may look different than you, but God made them. They may be different than you, but God made them. He created them in His image. And the last thing He needs me to do is to be the one that's putting them down. The last thing He may need me to do is to drag them through the mud. They don't need to know how sorry they are. They already know it. These people that work with addiction, people with addictions and people with all these things that's dragging them down, they'll tell you the last thing you want to do is tell them they're a drug addict. The last thing you want to do is tell them how bad they are. Listen, church, people already know how bad they are. Bless God, they need to hear how good it can be.
Amen.
They've heard enough bad. Well, that same tongue, we bless God and curse men. Out of the same mouth, we see the blessings and cursings. Think about this. He goes on to say, how many of y'all has ever seen a fountain that give forth fresh water
and also salt water. Boy, how bad would that be? Darrell, you'd go to that fountain and you'd want to drink of cool, clean water. And you'd had your mind set on that nice, refreshing water. And all of a sudden that salt hit them taste buds and you began spitting that stuff out. And you never knew what you could expect when you come to it. Has anybody ever known a person like that? That you'd go to them one day and there was one way. The next day there was another way. I've known some people like that. And you don't know the truth about it. I don't desire to be around them people because I never know how they're going to be. I want to be around somebody. I know how they are. Every single time I come in contact with them, I want to know if they like me, know if they don't like me. And if you don't like me, don't make me thank you that I like you, that you like me. Listen, the same fountain can't give forth fresh and salt water. But we do it every day. We do it every day. We're in church, boy, we all smiling, we happy, and we sing about God, we reading the godly scriptures, and we're doing everything about God. But in a little bit, we're going to go home, and we're going to get in the truck, and we may not today because we're all in separate vehicles, but we're in the same truck, we'd get in there, and by the time we got to the exit out here, Ashley and Abby would be in a fight. And the same tongues that was blessing in Sunday school would be better not be cursing, but they'd be putting one another down. And we're the same way, church. We're the same way. That very same one. Out of the same mouth. Between blessing and cursing. Listen to what he says. Listen to what James says. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. In other words, it should not be happening. He knows it's going to happen because we can't tame it. He tells in the scripture we can't tame it. But he also tells you, you know better than to be doing it. You know you shouldn't be doing that. How many times when you, let me ask you something. If you're in here today and you're a saved person, I promise you, you cannot talk bad about somebody. You cannot say something bad about them without being convicted. You can't do it. If you can, you need to be an altar right here. Something's wrong because you make the Bible a liar. It cannot happen because, listen, this person who is made in the image of God and God has died for, Jesus Christ come in and poured out his blood for him and suffered for him and rose again the third day, that same person that God loved that much, who gives you the right to curse him? We do it. We do it. Ought not to be. Though the fountain send forth the same place, sweet and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water. A grapevine is not going to yield peaches. A peach tree is not going to yield grapes. It just don't happen. It's not natural. It cannot happen. So listen, something's wrong then somewhere, right? It tells us that this fountain can't do that. That the fountain that is truly a freshwater fountain is going to give forth fresh water. A grapevine is going to give forth grapes. A peach tree is going to give forth peaches. So surely something must be wrong with us. What's the problem? Look, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. I'll show you what's wrong. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Uh-oh. Something happened. It just told us that if our heart's evil, we'll bring forth evil. If our heart's good, we'll bring forth good. And it says that every single word that I've ever spoken, I will have to give an account of. You believe that today? It's in the Word of God. I'm just reading it to you. Every single word you've ever spoke, you'll give an account of, whether good or bad. Let me tell you something. You better choose your words wisely. You better choose them wisely. You better take time, and you better think about this thing. Now, listen, I've told you that the Bible teaches it's not impossible that any man can ever tame their tongue. There's times you're going to fly off the handle, you're going to throw things, you're going to say something to somebody you shouldn't. But listen, I believe if you do that, I believe you ought to have enough God about you to go back and apologize. I believe the Spirit will stay on you so much that you'll have to go back and tell that person that, listen, I was wrong. I was wrong. Boy, how hard is that to say them words? Wrong. But you'll give an account of it on the day of judgment. Every word. You stand in the judgment seat of Christ. Every word, every deed we've ever done, we'll give an account of. That thing you said bad yesterday, it's there. That thing you'll say bad today, it's there. That thing you'll talk about in a little bit, it's there. Is it not funny? Oh, why does people, and I can't explain this because the scripture tells me we can't tame it, but why does people love to hear bad news? Why do we love to hear it? Boy, there's nothing better than getting a hold of a deacon who would run around on his wife, or a preacher who had gotten caught up in pornography, or this one or that. But how many times do you hear people on the street corner said, you ought to heard what our preacher preached, or you ought to saw our deacons today, how great they was, or our Sunday school class was just wonderful, our teacher was great. But listen, if they get caught up in a sin, boy, we love to spit it out there, don't we? You know what we're doing? We're dragging them down. We're setting them on fire. And we're destroying them. This thing is set on fire of hell. It's a fire. What does hell do? It wants to destroy. That's what's natural to this tongue. You see, this thing can only be controlled when the heart is right.
Amen.
When the heart is right, it's the only way you can control it. And listen, y'all know I've just preached it and I'll continue preaching it. We live in a sinful flesh and we will steal. I say stuff all the time to Pat that she gives me them eyes and I can't take them back. But most of mine's joking, hers is not. Listen, we say these things and we pass them off as, oh, that wasn't nothing. They'll forget about it. They'll forget about it. Listen, the child that was in school that used to talk about that had a weight problem, I promise you they hadn't forgot it. You know why? Because I was one of them. The child that was short in school that you talked about, they ain't forgot it. The child that was in school that was too tall, you talked about, too skinny, or the teeth was wrong, or something was wrong with them. All these things you said, they're there. And you will give an account for it.
Amen.
Think about that today. You'll give an account for it. The things we say to our mothers and daddies, and the ones that's over power of us, the scripture tells us, certain men's put in power over us. We'll give an account for it. What in the world can we do about this tongue? What can we do about it? Number one, we've got to make sure the fountain's right. We've got to make sure this fountain's full of clean, living water. And the Bible teaches that's Jesus. That's Jesus living inside of us, the Spirit of God, ever a fountain raising up every single day of fresh water. And I promise you something, if you'll get up in the morning, and I've tried this lately, and you'll start with this Word of God, the moment you get to work and the boss starts on you, or somebody else starts, you know what you'll do? You'll begin thinking about this Word. And you'll think before you speak because you don't want to be a hypocrite, and you'll do this thing. And listen, if you'll end your day with it, when you wake up in the morning, it's already there. And if you'll stay in it all day and you'll stay in prayer, I'm not going to tell you you won't say something bad all day, but what I will tell you is you'll begin to watch that tongue. The fountain has to be right. You see, I think the problem is, and how many churches have we saw tore apart? Most of them tore apart because of the words, because of the tongue. Matter of fact, all of them. We've heard churches tore apart because they got the wrong colored carpet, because it wasn't the carpet I liked. They got the wrong color paint on the walls because it wasn't the color I liked. They got the wrong kind of music because it wasn't the kind I like. They got the wrong kind of thing. Listen, there's some things you need to compromise. You don't compromise on the Word of God. But bless God, you ought to be able to deal with some red carpet. You ought to be able to deal with some blue paint. Or you ought to be able to deal with something that's just not completely to your taste. As long as that church is in the Word of God and they're preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, you should be able to make things work. The Baptist churches, we add about 750 churches a year in the Southern Baptist. And we lose... Listen to this now. We add about 750 Baptist churches a year, but we lose a bunch of members. When I say lose, it means the baptisms are way down. I know that's not, we don't know conversions, we don't know hearts, but we go by those numbers. So we're building more churches and seeing less people saved. What's wrong? I tell you what's wrong. This one gets mad at that one, they start a new church over yonder. That one gets mad at that one, they start another. We got enough churches in Cleburne County right now that we got a seat for every single person, and there's no need to ever, ever build another one. That's just the truth of the matter. I'm not saying you can't build a new building if this one gets old and falls down, but what I am saying is if we're truly got the right fountain today, then our words ought to be so that we lift one another up, that we don't drag one another down, and we should be able to get past those things and go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But these words, they tear us apart. How many of y'all, I'm going to ask you a question, then I'll close. How many of y'all right now, when I said those words, begin thinking about something someone said to you when you was in elementary school, or something someone said to you in high school, or somebody rejected you about these words, they told you this or that, and you think we can still stand here and say that words will never hurt us? Boy, this is one of the hardest messages to preach because it's one that affects everybody. Nobody's escaped. I'm glad the Bible didn't say that there was a man that could attain the tongue, because I'd be trying to find out who he was. That there was a man who could do this. The only man that ever walked this earth that could attain the tongue was Jesus Christ, because he was fully God. He was fully God, he was fully man. Yes, I believe there's times he was tempted to say things, but because that fountain was right, he controlled it. And because he had to be a perfect sacrifice. If this old fountain stays right and the clean water stays there, there should not be no worry about what's coming out of it. When you encounter me on a daily basis, there should not be any worries. Is that going to be salt water or fresh water? Should not be anything about it. We should know what's going to come out of it. You see, what I'm worried about today, that we have people filling our pews. The reason these churches have been split, as the scripture says, you remember what talks about the harvest? Let the wheat and the tares grow together. I think we have people, and I know this, we have people sitting on our pews today that ain't got the right fountain, full of bitter water. What does that mean? That means you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That means the Holy Spirit of God does not live in you, and without Him living with you, you cannot be a pure fountain. You can't have the pure water. Today, as we stand, as it come forth for the verse of song, you know your heart today. You see, the Bible teaches what comes out of the, what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. It says that we our same mouth bring forth blessing and cursing. So a little simple question today, as she begins to play, what kind of fountain is there? What kind of fountain is it? Or what kind of tree is there? We done talked about you can't get salt water from a freshwater fountain. You can't get figs from a grapevine. You can't do none of these things. What's there is what comes out. You take a seed and you plant it, and eventually a peach tree comes up. And then after a process of time, that thing begins bearing. It's going to have you some peaches on there. The same way with a child of God. The right seeds planted, the right fruit's going to come forth. The problem is we have in churches today is we're expecting to get godly fruit from ungodly people. It can't happen. It goes against nature. It goes against everything God teaches. Today, will you be honest with yourself? Has there ever been a time in your life that you cried out to Jesus Christ? That you asked Him to save you, the Spirit of God to prick that heart, let you know you was lost, let you know you wasn't right? Has there ever been a time that you cried out to Him? Ever been a time that you asked Him to save you? You see, we get so caught up in this. You ask some people, are you saved? And they'll say, well, on this day and day and day, I joined the church. Are you saved? Well, this day I went down there and I done this, or I was in a youth group and a feller said, raise my hand. So I raised my hand and done all this. So yeah, I was saved on this day. That's not what I'm asking you. I was asking you, has there ever been a time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Ever been a time? If not, you can't help but what comes out of that fountain, because there's nothing good in there. There been a time? If there have been a time, are you at a place in your life right now where that water's got a little bitter? You see, we lived around here years with wells. We still got a well. And you know, one of the bad problems we had in this area was iron. When iron got in the well, you had to get rid of it. You had to try to, some of them was not able to be fixed. But sometimes they could go in there, they could clean that thing out if you got certain impurities in it or whatever it may be. They come clean the well out, and again, you'd have fresh water. I'm afraid there's some of us, even in here today, that our fountains are tainted. We got the right fountain, but we've let impurities in it. We've let impurities into it. And because that's what we've got, when this mouth opens and this tongue begins to work, it puts forth the wrong message. The wrong message as we sing.